You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is a good friend, Annette O'Toole. She is publisher of 2012 The Awakening website. Her goal is to help others awaken to their divine potential. In the last 7 years, publishing has been a labor of love dedicated in service to humanity. In that time, she's published nearly 13,500 posts covering over 250 categories, making 2012 The Awakening website a virtual encyclopedia. Oh, excuse me, I've got the hiccups, by the way, so it's going to be one of those nights. Her website, a virtual encyclopedia of information for those on the path of awakening. Annette has been senior admin for Facebook's Galactic History Discussion page since late 2013. Annette will also be offering Ascension guidance on her Patreon page in later 2017 and has recently been featured in Andrew Bartz's Age of Resolution series on the purpose of weather and hurricanes at this time. You can find out more on her website, which is www.ascendingstarseed.wordpress.com, and her Facebook address and various other locations where she is, including her email, are all also listed in her show bio. So you can just check over there and find her in one of those many places. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Annette. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Lance?
I have hiccups.
No, I'm going to have to provide a distraction for you.
Yes, you will. You'll have to do all the talking.
We'll just hear.
Yeah, exactly. And an occasional whoop.
It's cute.
I've never had hiccups on the radio before. It's a first for me.
Oh, well, I'm gonna take that as a good sign then.
Well, yeah, the show must go on.
That's right. Well, thank you for inviting me on, Lance. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's long overdue. You know, you do so much work for the community, and you're just a tireless worker for, you know, educating people and raising awareness and consciousness and all of that. And you have the additional benefit of being a starseed, I believe. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's correct. I actually identified myself with that 10 years ago before all the starseed talk was really out there. And honestly, you know, I became aware of this when I was about 16 years old. And I don't know how to describe it. I basically kind of had an ascension experience at 16 after I was subjected to some, how shall I say, sexual trauma through rape.
Were they grays?
No, these were humans, but they were probably being manipulated through the other side.
I gotcha.
You know, but yeah, it was an extremely traumatic experience at 16 years old that sent me inward when I decided the world out there was too dangerous.
Right.
When I went inward, I discovered that essence of God. And I was actually an atheist up until that point. My dad was an atheist and my mom was too busy trying to raise kids after she divorced my dad. And so we didn't have a religious upbringing, and I was basically atheist. So when I experienced the essence of God, I I had an amazing experience at 16. It was so amazing. My mother, who had just earned her psychology degree, decided I was schizophrenic. She diagnosed me and had me admitted to a hospital, put me on medication, and it took a couple months for me to get my feet back on the ground, and but I came out a completely different person. So, and it was at that time, during that time, when I started connecting with what I believe now is my star family. And I didn't perceive it as that at the time. It was, it was kind of the whole UFO thing, and they're out there, but it felt good. I felt connected. But it wasn't until 2008 that I really began understanding my connection to the other realms and the other races. And I believe a majority of the humans on this planet are star seeds.
Right.
I think it's a small percentage of people that are Earth souls. So, there's a whole bunch of us that came here to turn things around. So, and that's, and that's what I've been doing. I was living in Los Angeles 10 years ago, and had reached a downward spiral in my life. I had, even though I had that experience when I was 16, I was in Oklahoma in a very dense reality with, Bible thumpers, and just there weren't people that had an expanded awareness. And I eventually, that peak consciousness I was in eventually wore off. And, I joined the Matrix with everybody else, basically. I kind of fell back to sleep. I did have, I had a great experience when I was 17 as a anti-nuclear activist in Oklahoma. And yeah, I trained two summers in a row, 1978 and 79, I believe. I trained a total of about 150 people in non-violent direct action to occupy a proposed nuclear power plant in Oklahoma, and we were successful in shutting it down. There are still no nuclear power plants in Oklahoma, but it was after then, and I really remember the disillusionment I felt when I saw power plants going up across the country, and everybody was just, going to the malls and nobody's paying attention, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't have to happen. And and then all the MTV generation, and I was also, aside from that, I was also in the music industry. I was being introduced to concert promoters. They were some of my best friends, and I was working for venues. So I ended up taking the rock and roll path for a good 25 years. And that's kind of how I ended up in LA. As I was turning 40, I moved there hoping to get the big job, and got there and was basically informed that women, when they reach about 40, are pretty much all washed up in Hollywood. And this was coming from a female who owned an agency where she got people jobs. Wow. And she's telling me, honey, if you haven't been here and you don't have your own business or aren't already established, you need to find another career. So it took me 7 years living in Hollywood and, doing the Hollywood thing. I was still drinking on weekends and partying, and got myself into a and this is the first time I've said this publicly. I ended up getting addicted to heroin.
Oh, okay. I do know people who have had that happen.
Yep. And, took the heroin journey for a year. And then when it was you know, when I knew I can't do this anymore, the only option was methadone. And And so, yeah, I was on methadone for 7 years.
Wow.
And but this is the amazing thing. You know, I was at the time in Hollywood, I was spiraling down and ended up in basically in a suicidal depression. And my parents recognized that I was not in good shape. And at one point in late 2009, offered, you know, my mom just called me up one day, said, Annette, we know you're not happy there. You need to get out of LA. You know, we're going to help you. Just decide where you need to go and we will help you get there. And she's like, no questions asked.
Wow.
You just decide. So it took me a couple of months to, you know, figure out Hawaii was where I wanted to go.
Good choice.
Yeah, I had been here in 91 and loved it. Wanted to move here then, but that's when I was going to work for concert promoters and thought I had this great career in the music industry and figured, you know, I'd get island, you know, just I'd get bored on the islands and want to go back. So,
right.
Yeah. So, you know, when I was trying to figure out where to go at one point, I'm like, well, what about Hawaii? Let's take a look at the cost of living there. And found that on the east side of the Big Island, it was more reasonable than living in LA by far.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so, yeah, and then when I told my mom I was coming here, what are you moving to Hawaii for? Oh, my God.
You can go anywhere you want, but why are you going to Hawaii?
No questions asked. Yeah, but it's actually, you know, when I got here, I found healing, you know, that's when I started to heal. And by the end of 2011, I was still kind of in a dark night of the soul period, but breaking out of it, and had stumbled upon Meg Benedicte's quantum vortex meditations.
Oh.
And the minute I stepped onto Metatron's cube and started, you know, following her directions under this, it was amazing. The matrix started spinning off of me. And 8 months later, I had a full body light, DNA light body activation.
Wow.
So, yeah, and that was in 2012 that happened.
Wow.
So it's been quite the intense journey, and I don't know if I've ever shared that with you, but, yeah, and 2012 was probably my most productive year for the blog, too. I'm sitting here having a light body activation, but online 12 to 14 hours a day posting. And looking back, that probably wasn't the healthiest thing to do spiritually for my light body.
Right.
But I also have a purpose that I'm serving as a light, as a star seed. So, you know, it's and that's one of the reasons you've probably noticed here in the last year and a half or so, I've kind of pulled back my posting, and I've just kind of had to really pull back and focus on my energy and pull away from the data too, because a lot of us who are in this line of work, I don't think a lot of people realize how we can really get into a almost a confused state when we have too much, when we're taking in too much data.
Right, right.
So, yeah, and there's a lot, you know, when you're on Facebook or online, think of all the little pieces of data that you're bringing into your psyche and into your consciousness.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're mind control and programming and, you know, it just goes on and on and on.
Exactly.
Not to mention, you know, all of your data being used for analysis and observation.
Well, you know, when you do what I do, you kind of have to not care.
Well, yes, of course. And that's the secret.
Yeah, you just have to, that's just one of those things that is, and right. Focus on protection and staying aligned. That's the big thing in anything that we do in life, is remaining aligned and doing the daily spiritual discipline. If I'm not doing it daily, I get knocked off real easy. You know, my whole right. day will go to, you know, if I don't meditate in the morning, and I learned that early on. So, yeah, spiritual discipline has been a key ingredient to maintain my work, the work that I've been doing as a blogger, and to deal with this parasitic technology.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I didn't want to cast aspersions on Facebook, by the way, because my general opinion is that it does more good than it receives benefits from the data. So I think it's a good thing, and that probably is an accident.
Yeah, you know, to me, Facebook, yeah, I, you know, it's a real catch-22, because there's really no place you can go right now where you can market information to the extent that you can market it on Facebook and reach people.
Right.
You know, you can do your little Twitter thing, and, you know, I know there are some new platforms coming up right now, which I'm really moving towards exploring, like Minds.com. I've got a Patreon account, but I haven't done a lot with it.
Uh-huh. You know, what is a Patreon account?
Pardon me?
I don't know what a Patreon account is.
It's just another platform. At first, when I first started hearing about it, I was under the impression it was another PayPal. You know, just another option for people to donate money to support your work if they, you know, and a lot of people don't like PayPal. So I thought it was, you know, a competitor to that. And when I went over to Patreon and started signing up, I'm like, okay, where's the button that I put on my blog? And it's asking me to create a blog. And I'm like, I don't want to create another blog. I've got one.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, oh my God, now I'm going to have, you know, double the work to do. But it does, you know, there are a lot of people doing a lot of good things there, a lot of good shows, a lot of good information coming up. And, you know, one of the things that I've been guided to do recently is set up like a weekly workshop for people who are really interested in, and I don't like the word ascension,
right,
because it has so many negative connotations. To me, ascension is just ascending up out of the matrix to where you're really living in your own reality bubble and in control of your creation.
Right.
You know, we're not going to float out of here like balloons or anything.
there might be a few higher balloons, but.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a few of those, quite a few of those out there. But you know, as, I mean, when my light body activated, it changed everything.
What does that feel like?
Oh, my God. For the first 2 months, it reminded me a lot of what I went through when I was 16. I think they were both basically the same experience, except when I was 16, I took it to the 12th floor and really kind of, I really wasn't in touch with this reality, but I was in touch with the higher realms.
Right.
And it was a pure God experience. It was pure. It was really like walking in. I described it for years later as walking in the arms of God. Just being held and loved and totally crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was amazing. And the most amazing experience I've ever had. Well, in 2012, the light body activation was very similar, except I maintained my grounding here in this reality. And at the time, since I was still in, I was, and this is what's really bizarre about it. I was so dedicated and so focused on my meditations and working through shadow and, you know, turning my thinking around and, you know, just all the steps you have to take. I was also on methadone at that time. I didn't actually detox from methadone until late 2013. So, but what that did, it provided me relaxation. So that I could relax and really become one, which is something I kind of, now that I'm not on methadone anymore, I kind of have a problem with relaxation sometimes and
right.
getting the tension out of your body, because to really expand out there, you have to be relaxed. You can't hold tension in your body.
Yeah.
So, where was I going with that? How it felt, I was in a peak state of consciousness for 2 to 4 months in 2012, but it impacted my, what am I trying to say, my neurology. I had a speech impediment for about a year and a half. I mean, you know, it was like my tongue was getting in the way and I was slurring my words. I couldn't hardly start a sentence on a topic and two minutes later remember where I started out on. So communication was kind of difficult at the time, but I was going through a rewiring process.
Right. That's a tricky one.
You're basically being rewired at that point.
Right.
And, you're walking in a whole new energy. You're walking in energy at that point. I had some, you know, when my light body first activated, it was a very intense experience. When I turned out the light at night, I could see the light coming off my aura, bouncing off the walls.
Wow!
And it kind of freaked me out, because I live out in the jungle and I have all windows in every room. I mean, it's all windows, and I'm like, at the time I was learning about, you know, the military and the my labs and how everything, you know, how the unseen world works, and when somebody lights up, you know, they can see you on the other side and they've got technology to detect this, and then it's like whack-a-mole, you know.
Right.
Oh, there's one, she lit up, go whack her down. And you know, and so I went through a period of paranoia, you know. I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna find me. But I'm like, I just kind of, and after a couple of days, I'm like, there's nothing I can do about this but protect myself and not go into fear.
That's,
you know,
true.
But it was really intense. I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was having a kundalini rising. Nobody, you know, because people don't talk about light body activations much.
Right. Or they'll say, we do them, and they're $99.95.
Yeah, you know, but there's, you know, I mean, where do you find an explanation on the difference between a kundalini rising and a light body activation?
Well, yes, that's a tricky one.
Yeah, there aren't many people talking about that.
And there are so many people who feel that the kundalini experience is something simple that you can just manufacture over a weekend, but the experts who know better say that it can actually destroy you, because, you know, when that energy rises, if you don't let it out the top of your head, you can literally go crazy.
Yep.
I had one in about 2000-something, I don't remember what, but it was so intense that I described it as, well, your eyes will pop out of your head and your jaw will drop to the floor in surprise. And when that happens, you know you've had one.
Yeah. Well, for me, it wasn't the fire coming up from the root or up the spine.
Right.
I was getting the light coming through my crown. And also there were times when I would be, you know, I remember one time I was in my kitchen when all of a sudden I got hit with a ray of light through my heart chakra. And there was a common, I used to see this image a lot online of just an outline of a man standing there with his head back with light coming in through into coming down from above into his heart. And that's exactly what I was experiencing. You know, so whoever created that image, I feel had been through that experience, because that's exactly, and I couldn't move. I'm just standing there and light's just coming through my heart. And at one point I thought I was going to have a heart attack. It was so, and I'm like, come on, you guys, stop. It's enough. You know, it's like,
right.
it's intense, but it's an amazing experience. And I would never go back to, you know, the pre-light body experience to the way I experienced reality then. It's a journey, though. It takes, my understanding, it takes a good 7 years to integrate these experiences. Some of the things that start coming in after a light body experience, I mean, I was getting past life flashes, times in Egypt. Also, as an oracle, I spent about 6 lifetimes as an oracle in Greece, or in Delphi, the Delphi area. And then another step has been when aspects of yourself existing in other dimensions.
Oh, yes.
You become aware of that. That's an interesting journey too. So I've got dragon elements, and you know, I literally saw a dragon come out of my solar plexus. And I was never into dragons. That wasn't my thing. And I was like, what?
What is that?
Oh my God. I'm a dragon. Ooh, okay.
What do we call you?
it's been quite the journey. And I've had a lot of help along the way. Andrew Bartzis has been somebody who's kind of helped me on this journey.
Oh, that's wonderful. I said, that's wonderful. As you know, that was the whole reason I took over the Galactic History Group. And after having done the incredible interviews with Andrew on his being a galactic historian, and they're still very popular today, and they should be. There's a lot of material in there.
They are. I think those shows have had over 100,000 views.
Oh yeah. There's just a wealth of material, and if nothing else, even if you can't verify the material, I respect it for having the ability to literally shift your thinking so far out of the box that there's nothing you can relate it to, because we're so used to accustomed to, you know, thinking about channeling and gurus and this and that. This material was the first material I had ever heard that was completely different than any other material. It was a different account, and it was complex and multidimensional, and it involved time manipulation and time travel and all kinds of things. So I think it's a really beneficial source of material to get people out of being stuck in their heads.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's been interesting to watch, you know, how people either embrace that material and gobble it up, or it's a visceral reaction. Oh, you know?
Right.
That's bullshit. You know? Oh, excuse my language, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's been real interesting watching. But one of the things, you know, on a discernment level for me, with his material was that was, I mean, really exactly a year after my light body activation that I was introduced to his material through the Walking and Energy shows. And what I recognized when I was listening to his material was the response my body and my light body was having to the material. My legs, I can remember several times listening to his, just listening to one of his shows, my legs were just tapping. There was this tapping sensation, like circuits were being activated based on the information, his tone. You know, I've also run into Andrew before on, actually quite a few times on other timelines. So, you know, I think it was also my light body just remembering this individual who I had worked with before. But that's, that was one of my, you know, because his material was at the time, I'd have to listen to it three times. And here's, I'd hear a new show every time. You know, because it was so multi-layered, but it was the reaction my body, my light body was having to the material that told me, you know, something here is good. This is not BS. This is real. Listen up. And since then, you know, in 2014, 2015, I pulled my energy back from his material. And he was the one who told me in a reading, stop listening to other people. You know, you need to source your information from within. And, you know, don't be a follower, be a leader.
Exactly.
And, and so I pulled my energy back from his material, kind of went into some other areas. And late last year, I started getting back into it again. And, and we started talking in January. I had actually invited him to be one of the speakers for a conference that I was working on with Corey Good. And a lot of people, I think, are familiar with what happened there. The conference got hijacked. It didn't happen, but in the process, I became good friends with Andrew, and that's what's led to some of the shows we've done. And sorry about the dogs. And also this weather series that we've done, The Age of Resolution, which was fascinating for me. I mean, it was just fascinating material because I'm very connected to the elements and the weather and have worked with hurricane systems that have, you know, barreled here towards the islands. You know, when that's coming your way and you're connected to the earth and to energy, it's like, well, let's see what I can do about this. And I just started remembering things I've done in the past as a weather wizard type soul. It's a fascinating series that we did. But anyways, getting back to kind of where we were, where I started out with all this, that's what I would like to present information for people, you know, and I'm not the guru. I know what's worked for me, and I know this stuff works for other people who apply the information. And sacred, you know, my whole experience and viewpoint with this is we all came in here with organic technology embedded in these skin suits.
Yes, I agree.
And depending on where we come from, it depends on the type of organic technology that, you know, when fired up, drives this engine. Sacred geometry and Metatron's cube and all that works for me. It's stuff I've used on other many timelines. So, yeah, and you know, and I know there's talk about Metatron's cube and sacred geometry and all of that and false light. And those are things that I have had to work through over the years.
Right.
You know, at one point I tried, you know, I got all George Casaballas when he started talking about the false light technology. I'm like, oh my God, what have I got myself involved in? You know, and stepped off Metatron's cube at that point. And I wasn't off for long. And what I learned was basically what happened was when I stepped off Metatron's cube, I fell into a relapse of hepatitis C.
Ooh, that's no good.
Within 2 months, I was. And, yeah, so I realized at the time, because I had had a relapse of hepatitis C in 2011. Okay, and then I healed from it, and then I had the light body activation and was feeling great. And then when I go into fear and step off the vortex, I got sick again.
Well, that's a pretty clear lesson.
Yeah, well, it was teaching me that, yeah, something about this quantum vortex and the counterclockwise spin. I've always got a vortex going around me. And I feel and see the quantum aspects of this realm, you know, and I and that was another thing with the light body activation. I had a whole, I don't know what to call it, but my third eye opened up and I saw symbols and sacred geometry. And when I close my eyes, I see and basically the holographic plane and light within the holographic plane. So, and that's been kind of funky trying to figure all that out, what I'm seeing. Because I don't get pictures like people talk about. I see light and symbols and rays and just a whole different matrix. And I think a lot of it is my own light that I'm seeing.
Well, the most recent thing that I've been entertaining in my mind is that there's a holographic projection, which is an overlay over whatever the reality is that underlies it. And so we're not really seeing we're not experiencing the real source of experience. We're interacting with the hologram, and that's been created, of course, as part of the matrix.
Right, right. You know, I like to coin it as the manifested thought forms.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's basically what we're seeing and what we're experiencing. And you know, when I touch my desk, that's a manifested thought form. And, you know, I believe that you can get into states of consciousness where you can literally pop out of this reality.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, once you understand and, you know, and it goes down into belief, way into our subconscious in beliefs. And when you can dig through all of that, and understand how the hologram works. I think it's a lot like the holodeck on Star Trek. I mean, that was
similar.
You know, in 2012 when I had my light body activation, the hologram had become so apparent to me. I can remember there would be times I was like, okay, where's the door? I know there's a panel here. You know, just punch the buttons, open the door, and let's step out of this hologram. And, you know, I never did find the panel, but.
Right.
Yeah, I'm still there. So, but yeah, it's real interesting. It's, you know, yeah, light body activation is, you know, it definitely changes everything. But from my perspective and in my experience, activating the light body is a step towards ascension and or graduation or whatever that is, you know, that end goal.
Right. And of course, Andrew said in some of the galactic history material that there hasn't been a graduation for so many hundreds of thousands of years that we've been recycled because our energy was being used to siphon off. And of course, we have value on multidimensional levels. So the game board has been slanted, and that's, I think, what people are referring to when they talk about beware of going to the, when you die, beware of going to the staging place where you get a life review, because that's considered part of the mechanism that sends us back into the human farming operation.
Yeah. Yep. You know, it's, I think it's, you know, we lost the knowledge of how to die long ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that was, I believe there was a time when, you know, whether you want to call it the shaman or whoever it was in the community, the spiritual leader, you know, they taught people how to die. Now, whether that was through myth or I don't know how they did it, but there was a time when we were taught, okay, when you expire from this skin suit, this is what you do.
Right, right.
You know?
Right. We actually were cognizant of what, how to handle that part of life. And over the many millennia, it appears that that information has been either removed or marginalized, and people have done what we know people do. They have gone for the bells and whistles of life and have pretty much put any thoughts of death out of their mind until the last minute.
Well, that's because we're taught you either die and go to heaven or hell.
Well, yes, but you and I know that that's not true.
Well, I know, but, you know, for hundreds of years, though, that's what the Western collective, that's been their belief system. It's
that's
either
true.
Heaven or hell.
That's true, and of course, that's part of the duality, which the false duality, which is keeps us mired in a black and white or either-or thinking.
Right.
So... But, you know, people like Daniel Brinkley, who had two strikes by lightning, and he died both times, and he was in his bed on the telephone when it happened both times. And no, it was not a message from God saying, you're talking to the wrong people. But he was shot across the room, and it took him many months to recover his faculties. But he didn't quite get it the first time he crossed over and had a near-death experience. And so he was using, for instance, he gained an ability to pick the numbers of the winning horses at the horse race. And he admits, you know, I was a scalawag, you know, I was really no good. And he cleaned up his act, but he did continue to do a couple of things like that. And so a second bolt of lightning hit him at the perfect moment, and he went back to the same beings of light that advised him the first time about the future, and they cleaned up the rest of it. They said, okay, you need to get a handle on this and this and this, blah blah blah. So he completely did a turnaround, and now he helps veterans learn how to cross over consciously.
Well, I'm not familiar with Daniel's story in the details of what happened after he crossed over. Was he met with the relatives and the tunnel of light and all of that?
No, it was much more interesting. They were floating beings, and they were covered in diamonds. Their attire was diamond-like. Wow. And in their stomachs, kind of like Teletubbies, they had various scenes playing, and one would step forward, and then the holographic projection of the TV or whatever it was a future event, would project out into the field between him and the being, and he got to see it and watch it and experience it, and he didn't understand it at the time, but each one successively in their turn gave him that vision, and it wasn't until several years later that he put it together that they were future events, and he started remembering them and writing about them, and they've pretty much all come true. I think there's two or three left, but that was his experience.
Interesting. Yes. Well, I'm familiar. I know he's done a lot of work out there. I've never read his books, and you know.
Oh, they're a great read. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, we're kind of at a point where we know some about your background, and I wanted to get that out there because, you know, your blog. I suggest to everybody that you go take a look at Annette's writing at WordPress, because she has a wealth of material that is valuable on just about any subject, and it's a great repository for research or for learning new things, and you're up to date on the latest, and you've chosen people to who have integrity. To you know, their articles are the ones that you post, and right. So I think it's a wonderful place to. And I find myself reading your articles on Facebook, not knowing that that's one of yours. And then I think, oh my God, this is really brilliant. You know, she's really doing a good job. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Well,
you know,
and
tonight.
Yeah, unless, you know, for people who haven't been there, I don't write. What I do, and this has always been my philosophy. And back when I started in 2010, I was still into, you know, figuring out the false flags and the Illuminati and, you know, the really deep, dark matrix stuff.
Right.
And, you know, and at the time, you know, I told my readers, I'm like, you know, I'm just taking you down the rabbit hole with me. You know?
Right, right.
You know, what I find in the rabbit hole, I'm going to bring back to you. And
right.
So it really is, if you, you know, go down the category list and take a look at all the different things. That, I mean, there are some things, some categories I haven't posted in since 2010 or 2011. Because I moved, you know, I may have moved past that material, but it's still there archived. And to be honest with you, I got started blogging. I never intended on becoming a public blogger.
Right.
It was in like 2009 or 2010, and this was before WordPress. When I had a Hotmail account, Hotmail had a blog. And I was seeing all this stuff and trying to tell my family and my friends what was going on in the world. And they were just like, ah, poo-poo.
Right.
Ah,
right, you know, right. That's
what I was. That's what I was losing friends and my family was backing off. And I'm like, okay, I'll show you. I'm just going to archive this material. And then when, you know, SHTF, you know, when it all happens, I'll be able to go, see, I told you, so. I tried to tell
right.
you, and I have it archived right over here.
Right.
So, yeah, and that's when, you know, I was still on the save the world mentality.
And, oh, yeah, I was there a long time myself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just trying to, you know, shout at everybody. Look at what they're doing. Oh, my God. You've got to wake up.
Yep.
You know, we know nobody wake you. We cannot
we
wake
cannot,
anybody up.
Right. And I think about the best that I feel that I can do it is, when asked, offer information that I find helpful to myself.
And yeah, do many people ask?
Do they? No. Thank God.
That's the thing. Most people don't. Now, my brother, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to him, and he's like, Annette, I was watching CNN, and they had a witch on there.
Are you sure that wasn't American Horror Story?
I can't imagine who CNN had on their show who was calling herself a witch.
Oh, gee. Well.
But, you know, he did ask. He at least, I think it's the first time in 6 years he's asked a question. But, you know, to me, what I finally realized is the only way we can really wake others up is by being
awake.
The living example.
Right, that is it. That is it. And to shed light on the unconscious aspects, or the shadow, if you want to call it that, and make the unconscious, bring it into the conscious light of your own experience, because that's where the influences are. And if you can shed light on it and raise it into the level of consciousness, then you have achieved a pretty hefty part of the prescription for, you know, being able to be autonomous and sovereign.
Well, in, you know, it's to me, and this is a subject I've struggled with, you know, about, you know, how the impact that we're making, and, you know, are we waking people up, and what to do? And I, you know, it really does come back to doing the inner work, being that living example.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know from the energy that I work from, and having an activated light body, I work with energy. I see it. I feel it. I can feel it pump outward. And I believe that the more of us that reach this expanded energetic state, we're the ones that are really making a difference on the mm-hmm. on an unseen level.
Yes.
That's how we're shifting the paradigm, is through energy.
Right. And we may not even be aware of it. So yeah. You know, yeah, it's not always something that you're conscious of.
Yeah. Are you ever called to a place where you just, I don't know, sometimes I'll find myself going, why am I standing here at this spot in this moment? It doesn't, but then you realize that you're just there to send the energy out.
Right.
To send
right.
the love out.
Right.
You know, or you know, that cashier, it's making eye contact or saying that something that, you know, is going to give them a soul code, or, you know, it's real interesting
mm-hmm.
how energy works on an unseen level in the interaction between souls and
mm-hmm.
people. And, you know, Andrew's told me I have a full set of soul codes. And that was, you know, when I first met him in 2013, I was in a very, of course, I was, at that point, I was relapsing with hepatitis C again.
Oh.
And he was, you know, he was kind of, you know, well, how come you don't go down to the beach? And why are you, you know, I was in a hermit mode. And
right.
I'm like, because I don't feel like I'm sick.
Right.
You know, but he's like, Annette, you know, if it's just going to the mall or going and
right.
you know, just sit there and look at people and watch people, or go to the beach.
That would be, that'd be my choice.
He said, and what he told me is people need your soul codes. And I didn't understand. I'm like, they need my they need my soul codes? Really? Really? But it's been a real interesting process since learning, you know, since learning that and seeing how people will end up in my field for just a few moments in a really strange interaction, and then they're gone. You know, you're never going to see them again.
Yeah.
You know, that's how energy works. Yeah. You know, I remember one time I went into Kmart when I was living on Kauai, and I was looking for something, and Kmart didn't have it. And I guess I picked up a bottle of water or something, and I'm at the checkout stand, and there was really no reason for me to be in Kmart. And I'm sitting here thinking about that, going, I could be doing something else. This is a waste of time. And then, you know, and I'm noticing there's like a grandmother in front of me with a little, like maybe 1-year-old baby in her arms. And as she's getting ready to, you know, pay, I offered to hold the baby for her. And oh my God, I had a great time with that baby. I mean, just the interaction with that child made the visit.
You know, Annette, we have had such a good time talking tonight that we've run out of time.
Oh my God, I'm looking, you're right.
We could probably talk for hours.
I think we could, Lance.
Is there anything that you'd like to quickly mention before we close out the show?
Well, first, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity. I hope this came across as an interview and we said something interesting. It just feels like a conversation between you and I. I just invite people over to my blog. Keep your eye out for... I want to put together a very expansive program for people over on Patreon, and something that can really help people go within and have guide them towards the experience that I've had towards a light body activation, because it's the best thing that's ever happened to me, and it changed everything for the positive.
Well, I just want to thank you again for coming on tonight, and that's a wrap. We'll talk to you again soon, and good night, everybody.